From fractional product manager to co-founder of a new SaaS, you're about to hear my conversation with James Lewis. Let's get into it. Hey, before I roll today's episode, here's my real-time update on what I'm working on. I'm recording this update on March 8th, 2024. Well, if you've been following my story heading into this year, then you know I'm in a transition phase. I'm exploring some new directions to take in my business. And this month, I decided to come back to my roots and focus my energy on what I do best, and that's building new products. So I've launched what I'm calling a product studio, and I'm calling it Instrumental Products. It's where I get to partner with fellow founders, creators, and SaaS companies on taking new product ideas from concept to launched. And, you know, since I'm a full stack designer and developer, my focus now is on continuously building new software products and continuing to grow that muscle. Sometimes I'm building products with clients, sometimes with partners, and building some new products of my own to grow out my portfolio at Instrumental Products. And as always, I love to build in public on my YouTube channel and on Twitter and, you know, share the process of taking new product ideas to life. So that's what I'm up to, building products in public. And I'm still running my SaaS product, Clarity Flow, which is doing its thing this year. All right, so that's my update. You can follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at CastJam. I'd love to hear from you if you have any feedback for anything I'm working on, especially this show on the podcast. And with that, let's get into today's show. So I'm about to roll my conversation that I had with James Lewis, and we recorded this on December 8th, 2023. I originally invited him on to talk to me about what it means to be a fractional product manager, which is something that I had been exploring for myself, working with other SaaS founders in sort of a coaching and fractional advising capacity. So I wanted to kind of pick his brain about what that looks like. But the conversation turned into his transition from being a fractional product manager for a company to moving into a full-time, much more committed position with a SaaS, an early stage SaaS company. So that was super interesting. And then we talked all about his SaaS business, Lemon, which is in the payments space for other SaaS companies. A really great story in this conversation. And I learned a lot. It was great to meet James. So here it is. Here's that conversation with James Lewis. Enjoy. James Lewis, great to have you on the show. Great to meet you.
Hi, yeah, good to meet you too.
Yeah, so as we were just talking off air, I mean, a big part of this whole podcast, this show, is me randomly navigating around the internet and finding people who I happen to find interesting and doing interesting work. And I don't even remember when I came across your profile. It might have been on Twitter, maybe on Threads. I don't even know. But I was like, this guy's up to some interesting work. And I want to learn more. So I'm going to invite him on the podcast.
Cool. Yeah, it was probably Threads. I'm not very active on Twitter these days, almost to the point where I missed your message. You DM'd me and I didn't see it for a little while, but thankfully I did catch it. So here I am.
You know what? I'm just starting to get into Threads myself. And I wish that like our whole industry would just all move over to Threads all at once. Yeah. So like we could all agree, let's just stay on one platform and not be kind of fragmented across two or more. It's really annoying.
But yeah.
Anyways, so I think in this episode, we're going to talk about one of my favorite general topics, which is like transitioning between different forms of business and maybe different chapters in our business careers. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're sort of in the midst of one of these transitions. But when I found you, and maybe, I don't know if this is still the case or not, I see that you've been a product manager in the past at startups, and then you got into coaching, advising, consulting, and this concept of fractional product management or product strategist. So yeah, like why don't we start with that? Like, how do you describe what you do today, essentially?
So I'm a product manager, I'd say most. I actually started my career as a developer back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I was working at a digital agency and kind of discovered my kind of like interest in product at that point. There wasn't really anyone doing that. And I kind of just took it on as an extra role to my to what I was doing and really got into it. And so then in my next job, I joined as the first project manager of a small startup here in Manchester, where I'm based. And I kind of like progressed in that company to was the chief product officer at the end of that, about 7 years with that company.
You know what? Actually, let's just pause right there. We're going to get into how you went out on your own into like coaching and advising and now your current thing with Lemon. But I want to pause there on just this concept of being a product manager. Because, all right, like personally, I started working at a web agency like 10 plus years ago, like 15 years ago now. Wow. As like a designer developer. Then I went out as a freelance consultant for a while. Then I got into bootstrapping and founding different products. And now I'm like a kind of full stack developer / product maker and founder. But I feel like I've never actually experienced what it means to be a product manager in a company. I was a project manager. I was a developer. I was a designer. But today, this whole role of product manager is incredibly important at so many companies, especially like SaaS companies. But I've never really seen what that looks like. But from what I can tell, I think that most of what I do day to day in my own products is like I'm a product manager. I manage my team. I talk to customers. I figure out which features to build, what the job to be done is. And that's mostly where I spend most of my time and effort. So I don't know. Like, can you give me like a primer on like what, and maybe like for developers or designers who might be listening to this, what does it mean to transition from being just like a developer and somebody who works on it to being a product manager in a company? What does that role entail?
Yeah. And to be clear, I didn't go to any sort of training or anything. I just kind of felt my way around it. But for me, it was kind of really trying to define the sort of where we thought we were going. So I guess, you know, the vision and how we're going to, what are the kind of the steps to get there, and then kind of work with the team to figure out what we actually need to do, what we need to build in order to kind of like get to that vision.
I think I feel like it's such an invisible part, but it's so important of the whole process. Like when I just think about my day to day, I spend so much of my hours and mental effort shifting around tickets to try to figure out like what we need to build this week, what we should push off to next week, what we should push off to next quarter, what the roadmap for the year looks like, and deciding on that stuff.
Yeah. And I never, even though I was with that company for 7 or so years, I never got to a place where kind of creating a roadmap that goes a year out was, that never made sense, because we were still kind of trying to find our way, and there was things happening, opportunities happening, crises happening that just meant that a roadmap just wasn't really worth planning out that. Although I did many times try and do that, only to be frustrated a few months later when it was thrown out the window.
Interesting. How much of like customer interaction is involved with a product manager? Are you the person talking to customers? Are you managing other customer research happening?
So I was talking to customers in the early stages. In fact, I continued talking to customers throughout, but not necessarily in a product manager kind of role. But yes, in the early days, it very very much was joining the CEO on sales talks, sales discussions, to kind of get a better understanding of who our potential customers were and what we were trying to solve for them. At the time, the company was going after large enterprise retailers, and that made things difficult. It was a very slow process. We did have a few wins, but again, there were very large customers paying a good amount of money. But in terms of trying to determine whether we had product market fit was very difficult, because it was you almost don't know whether you're at that kind of stage, whether you're just a glorified service company building what it is that they want for their specific problem. So that was challenging.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, let's move along in your story. So you were there, and then what was kind of like your next big move?
So yes, at the beginning of this year, I decided to move on, and I wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do next, but I knew that I enjoyed talking with other founders, with other people in similar sort of startups, and I felt that I had experience at multiple places that help people kind of like in the earlier stage with kind of how to go about kind of figuring out what to do, the kind of the right process, the people that they need to, you know, bring on board, that kind of thing.
Were you thinking, because this is also what like led me to reach out to you, because we record this, I'm starting up this company around instrumental products, and my initial offering there is like this coaching and product strategy thing. I'm curious to know, at that point when you started that, like, who were you thinking of in terms of like the ideal client for you? Was it a startup who's like at the idea stage and they're exploring creating their first MVP? Or was it a startup that's like further along, maybe they have an MVP or a version one and they just need some direction on where to go from here? Like, who would you work with in that?
So I think ideally that very early stage to kind of, because I'd seen many times where people were trying to build too much too quickly, or even employing a third party, an agency or an offshore agency to build out that MVP, which typically wouldn't be an MVP. It'd be too big.
Yeah,
exactly. And cost too much. Mm-hmm. But people at that stage don't typically have enough money to hire consultants and advisors. So that was, you know, I could help people, and I did talk to a lot of people, and but there was nothing in there and sort of commercially for me. So then, yeah, the next kind of obvious place was the next stage along, where people had already some sort of product, a small team. And there I found a lot of challenges around prioritizing the right thing to go after, the process of, you know, if you have a handful of developers, maybe a designer, how to run the sort of design, the development process.
Yeah. It's funny, you're describing so many of the same learnings that I'm going through, or that I have gone through over the past month or two, getting my version of this offer. It sounds like a very similar type of offer, getting that in front of different startups at different stages. And first of all, for me, having even a hard time writing the sales page, because I don't know exactly who I'm speaking to. And I have some thoughts around like what kind of value I can offer to another startup in terms of this like product management type of strategy. But yeah, like you said, like number one, I definitely saw like the super early idea stage. They're too bootstrapped and they don't have a budget to bring on an extra consultant. And then the ones that are a bit too far along, they already have a whole team and a process and a workflow, and it doesn't quite make sense for me to like kind of slot in there. There have been a few clients that I've been working with in different capacities, but I'm still kind of feeling out like what actually makes sense for me and for them. So what else did you learn there?
So yeah, just to kind of like kind of play on what you were just saying there. I've really struggled to, and it's almost ironic as a kind of, you know, you have to, as a product manager, you need to define your ideal customer and like, you know, work out exactly what your value proposition is, and all the advice that I'm giving to people, I'm really struggling to do that for myself. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to try and find some sort of, rather than I can help you here, and here, which is true, I wanted to try and find maybe some sort of discrete package, something that I could offer. But I've continued to actually struggle to find that thing, because there are so many different problems we can help people with. So
it's so true. Cause again, like this idea of like product management, it has all these branches that touch so many different parts of the process, from customer research to technical development, implementation, to design, UI, UX, you know, like product marketing.
Yep.
But then it's also a question of like, all right, well, each individual startup that you work with, they tend to have very different in-house competencies. Like the founder might be technical or the founder might be non-technical, or maybe it's a partnership, maybe it's not. Maybe they have a developer who's on board, maybe they don't and they're considering hiring one of these agencies, or, you know, there's so many different variables at play, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And as well, I was also, I had the role of COO at the previous company as well. So I have experience in marketing, operations, people management as well. So again, another sort of like bunch of experience that, that could be helpful, but doesn't help me pin down what it is that I'm trying to offer.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. This idea of fractional product management, there, you know, I haven't kind of slapped that name on my thing, but multiple people have like suggested it to me, and I've seen it around in different productized consulting offers. Like I've seen like fractional CTO, fractional CFO, fractional, you know, UI, UX design. Like it does sort of make sense theoretically to offer like a fractional product management service to help with this directional strategy advising type of thing. And I'm actually talking to a few clients in this capacity right now, but I'm curious what do you think of is this around this term of like putting like fractional product management on it, and what's been your experience with that?
So I did offer myself as a fractional product manager, and I joined the company that I'm with now, Lemon, which you mentioned earlier, initially as fractional head of product. And to be honest, again, it kind of, It makes sense in theory, but or at least for me, I really struggle to kind of not go all in on something if I'm really interested in a problem and a challenge. Once I kind of got started working with Lemon and I got on with the founder, I found it very difficult to try and think about other things and also keep an eye out for opportunities at the same time, to the point where I am actually now going all in on Lemon. And that's kind of a recent development.
Yeah. So, I mean, what can you share about like, what's your status with Lemon today?
So, so I am now the head of product at Lemon, which is
full-time.
I'm full-time all in on it. So the journey, at least for now, my journey with kind of the fractional or the consulting is come to an end, and I'm kind of like excited to like go with Lemon for.
So it's interesting. Like you sort of like, connected with them with this like fractional product management offer, and then that evolved into like, well, let's grow this role for you and make it official and make it much more significant in terms of your participation there.
Yep.
Hey, real quick, this podcast is sponsored by Instrumental Products. That's my product studio where I and my small crew, we take new product ideas from concept to launched. I'm a full stack product designer and developer, and I love collaborating with fellow founders, creators, and SaaS companies to bring that spark of energy into new product ideas. Think of Instrumental Products as your shortcut to shipping that next idea and getting it into the hands of your customers as efficiently as possible. Got something to ship? Let's talk. Visit instrumentalproducts.com to learn more. I'm really interested in that transition. I'm always interested in transitions. So how did do you have a pre-existing relationship with them before the fractional offer came about, or did they just like kind of find you somehow? And then that's like, how did the initial engagement begin with them?
Yeah. So at the beginning beginning of this year around springtime, I think it was, I was just meeting with and going for coffees with anyone who fancied going for a coffee as I was trying to figure out what was next. And a mutual friend of ours put us in touch and said, Matt, James, think it'd be great if you met for a coffee. So I'd never met Matt before, and we just kind of he talked about his initial ideas for what he was thinking about doing, and it did sound really interesting. And I, you know, we just kind of like hit it off from there, and kind of kept in touch, and
very cool. I do want to get into a little bit of what Lemon is and the problem that you're solving. It is super interesting. We'll get into that in just a minute.
Sure.
So like you met his name is Matt, you said?
Matt, met you.
Yeah. So you met Matt, and what was their situation at the time? Like, did they have more of a team in place?
So he had one co-founder at that point that they were working together on this, you know, just the sort of beginnings of the idea at that point. The other guy, he actually moved on at some point. So it's just, right now it's just myself and Matt working on the
okay.
product.
I see.
So yeah, it was very early stages. It was just kind of like, here's some ideas.
Is Matt technical? Who's building it?
So I'm building it. I've kind of dusted off my developer hat, found it down the back of the sofa somewhere, and got back into developing again, which has been really fun, actually. It's been a long time. I'm really enjoying it.
How long have you been out of the game in terms of code?
I'm going to say 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And lots changed. You're able to just get back into it, like riding a bike?
Well, thankfully, at the same time, ChatGPT sort of came along, and that right. really helped me, I have to say.
You know what's funny? I had a sort of similar thing where early in my career, so I started as working at an agency in New York around 2005, started as a front-end web developer. So, you know, that was sort of early days, not the earliest days, but like a lot earlier than today. Like, the building websites was a lot messier than it is today. And then went out on my own, and I continued as a freelance web designer, developer, heavy into front end and everything, like HTML, CSS around like 2008 into 2012. But then I put more of my founder and marketer hat on for the next 8+ years. And it wasn't until mm-hmm. like 2018 that I got back fully into the code and learning full stack and front end and back end and Rails and everything. And like that 10-year gap, especially on the front end of web development, it went from like HTML and CSS and your FTP to a server to like just mountains of complexity, especially on the front end, and JavaScript and all this crap.
Yeah.
That was a big pain to get back into. And it was like just a little bit too early for the AI wave. Like, now I'm loving AI in my workflow, but like if only I had it like 2 or 3 years earlier, that would have been perfect.
So I think when I left development, I was working with Symfony, PHP, jQuery, I think, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And now I'm building a Next app. And I think maybe I've missed some of the real complexity, and it's kind of, I don't know if you think the same, but it seems like it's almost simplifying again somewhat.
It's starting to simplify. And I definitely seek out the simpler the better. Like I tend to stay away from the heavy JavaScript frameworks, and like I haven't even worked with like React and or Next or any of these. I stick with, currently I mostly use like Rails and Stimulus.js, but recently I've been getting into Alpine.js, which are really just really lightweight wrappers around vanilla JavaScript, which is, I love that. Like, simpler the better, you know. Very cool. All right, so back into your transition into working with Lemon. So now it's just the two of you, kind of co-founders on this thing. You're building it. Tell us about Lemon. Like, what is it? Who's it for? What problem is it solving?
So Lemon is for predominantly SaaS vendors. So it's a SaaS checkout for people who are selling SaaS. The idea is that a lot of SaaS is sold either in monthly or annual plans. If you choose the annual plan, you typically get some sort of incentive, like a 20% deduction or something. On the buyer side, most people want to save money, but they can't afford the upfront annual plan. Mm-hmm. So we offer buyers the ability to commit to that yearly plan, but spread it over 12 monthly payments, and then we pay the vendor upfront. So it's not dissimilar
really
to sort of
buy now pay later. Simple. Yeah, buy now pay later. I love how simple this is. It makes so much sense. You know, even for me as a buyer of SaaS, I more often than not, I go for the monthly subscription, mm-hmm. even if it's mm-hmm. something that I know that I'm going to be using for well over a year. Just because like, I just don't want to plunk down $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 for an app. I'd rather just pay a couple hundred a month or something, whatever it is, you know?
Yep. Yeah, so it's a pretty simple idea. The idea, although there's still lots to learn, lots to experiment with, but the idea is that we are a sort of a checkout widget on the SaaS pricing page or the payment page or wherever.
Right. So if I'm a SaaS, so like on my SaaS, on Clarity Flow, I could, because I do offer the typical monthly or annual, and annually you mm-hmm. get like 20% off. So I would offer like a your lemon widget to my customers so that they can choose the annual price but pay monthly.
Yeah.
And then what does the flow look like? So they like click your widget and then what happens?
Yeah, so you click on the banner. It is currently a banner, and then that would open up a little panel, and then you go through the process to connect your bank to connect via direct debit, so we can take the payment on a direct debit bank, and it's been a while since I looked at this side of the business. So then you do connect your bank currently, so that we can ensure that, so we do an instant kind of credit check with your bank, and then you can, and if you pass, you just go straight through, and we would pay you up front. And
the end customer of the SaaS needs to use direct debit. They can't pay with a credit card
right now. So that's what we're thinking at this minute. But again, it's all kind of like we'd like to offer however people want to pay eventually. But that seems to make sense to us at the minute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got to just see how people want to use it.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with this whole space, but I know that like huge like Apple has like their card, the Apple card, right? And there's mm-hmm. probably a few others that sort of do this thing with any purchase, right? Like if I want to spread out payments for a big purchase, I could use. I've never used it myself, but my understanding is it's sort of like that.
Yes. Yeah, so, I think Klarna on the sort of consumer side is the most obvious one, and Klarna are similar in that they kind of integrate into the checkout experience and ClearPay and Affirm, I think.
Right. Cool. I mean, I love how simple it is. I love how clear and direct it is. Are you like, what's the requirements for a SaaS in order to work with you? Like, do I have to be on Stripe, or what does this look like? Does it matter?
So if you go with Lemon, or if the buyer chooses Lemon, then essentially the buyer will be paying to Lemon the monthly cost. So therefore, the Stripe fees from the vendor go away, which is another nice benefit, because we will just be paying the vendor up front straight away.
Wait, the Stripe fees for the vendor. Wait, so if I'm the SaaS owner, mm-hmm. and I engage Lemon to put that widget on my site for my customers, Lemon will pay me directly.
Correct.
Instead of like paying through my Stripe checkout, essentially. Yeah. Interesting. So you're doing like sort of like direct bank payments both ways between the customer and Lemon, and Lemon to the SaaS.
Yeah.
Super interesting, man. Where are you at with the whole process and building it and launching it and customers and all that?
So we're pre-launch. We are still kind of going through getting our first pre-seed round raised. That is, I'm hoping that is kind of, we're very close to being able to announce something on that. Mm. And maybe by the time this comes out, that we'll be in a good position. In the meantime, whilst we're kind of waiting on that, I've been looking at the buyer side of things. So if you're paying for halfway through Lemon, or maybe even multiple products through Lemon, you'll want to be able to log into your sort of Lemon dashboard and see all the different things that you're paying for.
Yep.
And right now we're working on a simple SaaS management platform or tracker that you can add all of your SaaS subscriptions into and just kind of like get an overview of all the things you're paying for. And in time, we'll add the Lemon payments into there as well.
Oh, I like that too.
So it's a way to kind of like sort of start engaging with the sort of the buyer side of the market.
Yes. Okay. So is that so what you're saying is like it's essentially a tool for any consumer of many SaaS apps, as most SaaS business owners are, or any business owner is. Like, I have a whole bunch of SaaS that I subscribe to and I often forget about them and mm-hmm. I end up paying for them for too long. So you're saying like this is a tool just to manage all of my SaaS subscriptions, and eventually I'll have the option to say like, all right, I've got my list of 20 SaaS that I subscribe to. Maybe like these 10 of them, I want to actually use Lemon's like annual payment service. Let's optimize some of the costs on this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love it. And is that, how are you thinking about pricing? Like, is that tool going to be like a free kind of like lead gen tool? Or
yeah, initially we're saying that as a kind of lead gen, an acquisition kind of tool on for the buyer side. It may evolve to at some point be, you know, feature rich enough that we can consider thinking about maybe paying for certain features or tiers or whatever. But yeah, initially it's a free product.
Very nice. I guess we'll start to wrap up here, but kind of coming full circle, putting your product manager hat on. So Lemon is an early stage startup, you know, pre-seed as of this recording and pre-customers. Mm-hmm. What kind of things are you doing in terms, I know you're obviously building the product too, but like from a product management standpoint, like, are you doing customer interviews? How are you deciding on strategy and roadmap for V1 and things like that?
So I made, I think one of the things I kind of very first did when I joined was kind of get a website up and running that could accept emails from people who are interested. Mm-hmm. And that's a great exercise in just kind of thinking in terms of how you want to position it and how you want to, you know, talk about the product you're building and, you know, try and articulate the problems that you believe that you're solving. So that was a really important thing for me. And then as people have started to register interest on both the buyer and the seller side, that's a nice sign of initial validation, but also it's there are some people there you can reach out to and have a chat with and kind of like
I just
understand a bit more.
I just put out a tweet about this yesterday, but I love this pattern, and I've seen the same thing with all of my past products. One of the earliest steps is to put up your initial stab at what a landing page should say. Like, write it up in terms of your hypothesis on like who you're speaking to and the problem that you're solving. This idea of like ship and then see. You know, mm-hmm. like put this out there, see who resonates with it, capture their email address and then talk to them and then iterate off of that. I've never had much success with having nothing out there for people to see and then just talking to customers. I can maybe observe the markets a little bit, but I need to put something out into the world first and then gauge some reaction off of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, so that, I think that's kind of like, that's been my approach. And then it has been not a struggle, but it's very easy to fall into, you know, when you go into the build phase of thinking about what is the true MVP, what is the smallest thing that we can build and release that will get some sort of learning for us, mm-hmm. versus the kind of the perfectionist in me who wants to make sure that the UI looks as nice as it can do. And that feature there would be, it's not essential, but it'd be really nice if we added that, and trying to kind of find that balance between, mm-hmm. you know, bare bones, like just the minimal things that would actually make it usable and kind of what makes it just that little bit nicer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, first of all, I just love the problem and your solution to what you're describing. And I love the idea of having like the front end sort of lead gen product for buyers to manage all their SaaS. Like that in itself does seem useful. And it seems like a clear path to getting into the payments system, but it's still a two-sided marketplace. I think that would be my biggest fear of this mm-hmm. kind of thing. But I, unlike other two-sided marketplaces ideas, this one seems a little bit more clear cut, and it seems like you could even be successful even on either side of the market. Like you could still be successful just selling to SaaS companies or just selling to buyers of SaaS. You know, it's not like it won't work unless you have both sides.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's not a pure marketplace kind of thing. And I think, you know, as we learn more, it's going to evolve. And it's an interesting problem space that I'm looking forward to kind of like working with.
Very cool, James. Well, I'm glad we got to talk here. This is why I love this podcast. I call it Open Threads because it's open. I never really know where it's going to go. And when I invited you on, I was really just interested in like the fractional product management idea as a way to like make a living in this industry. And it turned into this whole transition, interesting conversation about how you got into Lemon. So yeah, really cool. I'm definitely going to be following along.
Cool. Okay.
All right, James, we'll get all your stuff linked up in the show notes. And yeah, thanks for doing it.
Yeah, great to talk.
All right, see ya. That does it for today's episode of the Full Stack Founder Podcast. As always, the show notes include links to the YouTube channel for this podcast, where you can catch these full interviews on video, and my YouTube channel. That's where I'm building products in public. See you next week.